Good evening. It's a good night to be at church. Even when you don't feel like it, it's a good night to be here because God has good things for you tonight. In Jesus' name. So we're going to start by prayer and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for each person here in your church, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for each person online. Lord, that you're doing something in us. You're changing us. You're helping us to see things we've never seen before. Father, I thank you that tonight would be your message, would be your words, not my own, but yours. And I thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our church and through us and through our people, God, and all over the world. Lord, I thank you that you're doing a work that we can't even imagine or think because it's so great. And so, Father, I thank you that we will continue to be about your business, continue to be about the gospel, continue to let you work through us. And we just thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight I am just going to piggyback somewhat on Nate's message on Sunday. Nate talked about blank is a liar, and there was lots of blanks there, but Pinocchio and other things. But the devil is a liar, right? And when he was talking about those things, I mean, it always brings up something that I've dealt with in my own life, and that is fear. I don't know if you've ever dealt with fear in your life. How many of you would say at some point in your life you've dealt with fear? Okay. I was looking to see if most hands were up because I believe that fear has touched us all at some point. And one thing that's interesting to me is that when I was a kid, I don't know if you dealt with this when you were a kid, but have you ever been afraid of the dark when you were a kid? I'm going to tell something on Nate, but Nate was really afraid of the dark. So was I. So I'll tell on myself too. But fear, it at times can seem so real, right? It can seem really real. And even though it seems real, is not necessarily real. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning one night. And my middle child, Adelie, was screaming for mommy or daddy or somebody. So I'm usually the one that wakes up and run in there like, what's going on, you know? And when I go in there, she's like, I'm afraid. And so I was like, okay. I can't say I wasn't a little bit perturbed for being woke at 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't say I wasn't because I was a little frustrated. But after I got out my frustration, what is wrong? What's going on? Like, because I can barely think in 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know if you're like really wide awake, but if I'm been asleep trying to wake up from that, I'm like, what is going on? I don't even know what's going on. So after I got through my little perturbedness, I was just like, okay, you know, this is what we do with our kids. We teach them how to deal with the fear that comes, right? So I went to Adelie. I said, Adelie, first of all, you're okay. Secondly, God is with you. He loves you. He put his angels charge over you. You're going to be okay. I promise. There is no bad thing that can come near you. So we start going through our confessions that we do. And we went through the confessions. I prayed over her. I commanded the spirit of fear to go because that's what our kids deal with, including us. And, you know, she went to sleep. And the next morning she goes, Mommy, thank you for helping me not be afraid. And, you know, it really got to me because I was like, when I was a kid, I was very afraid, and nobody taught me how to deal with that, you know? Nobody showed me in the scripture what to do, how to take my authority. And because I've dealt with it so much, because I was brought up in an environment where fear was like the everyday thing that you were taught, like I always crack up and think about, you know, if anybody needs to know WCS, worst case scenario, I gotcha. I'm just saying. Been trained in it from like this big. I gotcha. I can tell you all the problems of a situation real quick, because it was something that was ingrained in me as a small kid, not on purpose. I know my parents didn't do that on purpose. It was just something that was in them that rubbed off on me. And I know we all have dealt with fear at some point, and worry, anxiety, stress, depression. At the root of that is fear. And I don't take, those words lightly, because I know that people really deal with some mental illness and different things, and it's in my family, so I completely understand. It's a real deal. It's not something to play with, and it is totally okay to go to the doctor and get on medicine and do what you need to do to get help. There is no shame in going to the doctor and getting help. No shame. Because if you can go to the doctor for a cold and get help, you can go to the doctor for mental illness and get help. You can go to a counselor and get help. I believe that it is 100% okay to get help. And we need to talk about this more in church. You know? It is 100% okay to say, I have a weakness in this area and I need some help. Somebody help me. But we cannot neglect the fact that we can fight and we have authority in the spiritual realm. We cannot neglect that. I believe that together in the natural and in the spiritual, we can change some things. So I don't take it lightly, because I know people are really dealing with this stuff. But there's different degrees that people are dealing with it. Some of us, we may have a little bit, but some of us may have a lot that we have to deal with. And it's just all in our personalities. It's how we grew up. It's what we've experienced in life. So there's all kinds of fears. There's fear of destruction. There's fear of rejection. There's fear of lack or poverty. There's fear of humiliation, fear of being alone or doing life alone. There's fear of death. There's fear of failure. There's fear of success. There's fear of something happening to a loved one. There's fear of people knowing your struggles or your sins. There's fear of not being loved. There's fear of not being perfect. There's fear of not being good looking. There's fear of trusting others or not being able to trust others. Fear of abandonment, fear of justice not being served. There's fear of what others think of us. And if you look at all these fears, that's a lot of fear, you know. But all of us at some point, we've dealt with one of these, right? We may not deal with all of them, but we may have dealt with one or a few of them. And fear is meant to paralyze us. It's meant to captivate us and keep us distracted away from doing the things that God has called us to do. Joyce Meyer always says that fear or worry, and I'm going to use the word fear and worry and anxiety and all of that, and it means pretty much to me the same thing. I know there's different aspects of things, but you can use it interchangeably. But fear or worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It keeps you busy all day, but you go nowhere. Been there. And I'm preaching to myself tonight, because this is one of the weaknesses I've dealt with in my life. And I would say one of the biggest weaknesses I've dealt with in my life. And our minds are so complex and creative that God made us with this imagination to imagine the most incredible things. And what happens is the enemy uses that same creative ability that's in our minds to imagine those worst case scenarios, right? And it's really interesting to me, they have these games out there that's like Fortnite and Minecraft or whatever. They build these worlds inside these video games, which is, God bless them, you know, have fun with that. But to me, I'm like, I don't have time for that. But I think it's cool that they have that opportunity to actually imagine something and do something with their mind. And the thing that we always go to with that scripture that says, well, God can do infinitely above all we can ask or think, right? Well, in that scripture, that E320 scripture, let's go there because I think it's important. It's starting in chapter 3, verse 16. Let's figure out what he actually is talking about in this E320 verse. Because I do believe it can be applied to several things, but in context, we have to recognize what it's talking about. Ephesians 3:16, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Notice that he's talking about work in us, that he would accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. Did you realize that he's talking about work in us? That we would understand his love, and that there would be a work that he accomplishes, and that work that he accomplishes in us is infinitely more than we could ask or think or imagine. Things that maybe we think we could never get over, or things that we could never get rid of, God can do it. He can do infinitely more than we can ask or think. I truly believe that knowing the fullness of God's love and fully trusting in him, that helps to drive out fear. And I think that's what he was talking here in Ephesians about, like the more we're rooted in his love, the more we know how deep and wide and long his love is, that we'll understand that he's working in us. His mighty power is working in us. And the thing is, fear can actually be kind of selfish sometimes. It can be because we're thinking about our people. What if something, you know, happened to our people? What if this happens or that happens? And it's all about us, right? And sometimes it can be prideful. Sometimes it can be selfish. And it's about us trying to figure it all out on our own, in our own heads, right? We're always trying to figure it out. I don't know if you have that tendency, but I always try to figure it out. Like, I got it. You know, if I work this problem out, it's like a math problem in your head that you're just trying to work out, and to just keep working on it until, like, you think you're going to get the answer right. But it never works. It never works out. We never get the X, Y, Z equals whatever. Worrying doesn't change things. We realize this, but in the moments when you're worrying, it doesn't always occur to you, does it? Doesn't always occur to me. But I love in 1 Peter 5, and these are scriptures we know, y'all. I mean, we probably learned these scriptures like in kindergarten, you know, in Hyder Forest, and back in kids club, whatever. But I'm telling you, the elementary things in the Bible are some of those things that we have to go back to, the basics, because what happens is we get a PhD in the Bible and we forget how to add. Right? there's times where we get, you know, this revelation knowledge about all these things, and then we forgot how to add. I need my calculator. Where's my calculator? You know? So we're going back to some basics, but I trust that this is going to help you because it's helping me. 1 Peter 5:6-11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his servants at the appropriate time. I thought this was very interesting that this is how this verse starts out before it says casting all your care. Isn't that interesting? Because I feel like the worrying part of it, we have to humble ourselves because we are trying to figure it out and trying to do it all on our own. And Grayson touched on this in his message, on an offering message, and I thought it was really good. We can't do it on our own. We have to realize we can't do it on our own. And then verse 7 says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deep affection and watches over you very carefully. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted and established, immovable, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world. You do not suffer alone. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be. To him be the dominion, power, authority, sovereignty forever and ever. Amen. Y'all, that's good. Going back to casting all your cares, I think it's so easy to say, you know, well, these are little problems, and you're not really saying this, but you don't consciously think, oh, I should cast these little problems on God, because it just seems like, oh, well, they're just part of life and I got to deal with this. But then when there's a big issue, you kind of think, well, I need some help with this. But the thing is, our bodies are not created to hold the burdens and cares of life. They're not. That's one of the reasons our bodies get so sick when we're so worried and afraid and full of fear, because our bodies are not created to hold it. They're not. And it's a sign to us to say something's wrong here. Something's got to give. We can't hold on to all this stuff and expect something to change while worrying about it. We have to cast all our cares upon him. And it says, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Now, I personally think this is a process, and this is something we have to do on a regular basis. Once and for all was yesterday, right? And today is once and for all, because there's new problems you face. But I do believe that we can cast these cares. I don't know if you have a place in your house that you can get alone, but the one place that I can, I'm absolutely alone, is inside my shower. Inside. I'm not saying they're not out there, because they are. They're out there. And they're usually pressing their face against the glass. But it's okay. Inside my shower, I am alone. And that is my time. I call it my care casting chamber. It really looks like, you know, it's like a corner little thing. And you open the door, jump in, you close the door. It's like, you know, perfect. Like, beam me up, Scotty. Okay. So it's like this chamber, that I use to cast my care, because it's the only place I have alone in my house. If I'm on the toilet, I'm not alone. I promise. So I use that time and I go through the list in my head, and God, I give you this, and 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 Lord, I don't know what to do about that, but, and I give you those children, you know, I give it all to him in those moments. And I promise you, I have some days, there's a long list, but I tell you, when I get out of the shower and I open the door, I feel a little freer. Because those burdens and those cares that I've been holding on to, and some of them I gave away and I picked back up, they're his. I also would like to think of, you know, when you go to the bank and you deposit your check, they have those little sucker thingies. I love those things. When I was a kid, I was like, this is the coolest thing in the world. You put your money in there, and then it sucks it up, and out comes a lollipop. I mean, seriously, when I was a kid, I was like, I've got to have one of those in my house. I mean, I totally didn't understand where the lollipop came from, but I was like, that's what it reminds me of when we're casting our cares to God. It's like we deposit them. We give them to God. We roll them over to him. We cast them onto him, and then he takes them. And he works on it. He does something with it. He is doing things behind the scenes that we have no clue. We can't see it. They're in there working their numbers. But they're working. And God, where's my lollipop? No skin. But he is working on it. And he, the lollipop is peace. Right? It's peace. It's peace that passes all understanding, that guards your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let's read it, because this one's good. This is like my scripture right here. Philippians 4:6-8. Do not be anxious or worried about anything. It's another scripture says, do not worry about anything. But in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And the peace of God, that peace that reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. Let's amplify. This seems very simple. And I think we think it cannot be that simple. It can't be that I choose not to worry about anything, and then I give God everything, and I pray, and I do it with thanksgiving, and God does something with it, and he gives me peace. It feels like it can't be that simple. And a lot of the situations are not that simple. But what we do, what the Word says to do, is true, and it works. Your problems may not disappear in those moments, and I promise you they're not going to, but what's going to disappear is all the care and the burdens and the worries and the anxieties that you have that is on you and weighing on you and making you feel awful. Because he said he would replace it with peace. And it's a peace that even though the circumstances seem like I should be freaking out, there's a peace that passes all understanding. And it'll stand guard over your hearts and your minds. Do you think God is a big enough God to take care of your problems and your problems and your problems and your problems and your problems? And yours, and yours, and yours, and yours. Do you think he's a big enough God to handle all of it all at one time? He is. The small things, the medium-sized things, those really big things that we think are giants, he's able to handle it all. In 2 Timothy 1:7, these are scriptures. Again, we know these scriptures. Please don't tune these out. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal disciplines, abilities that result in calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. I did a little bit of a word study on some of these words. And the word fear, the spirit of fear or timidity, it means timid, fearful, cowardice. If you think of somebody that's, you know, cringing and hiding and running away from whatever they're dealing with, that's the spirit of fear. But the word power is dynamis, strength, power residing in, ability, power for performing miracles, moral power, excellence of soul, power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, power consisting in and resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. That is the kind of power that's in us. Power, ability, that is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in us. And the word self-control, or the word that says sound mind, is so, if I can say it, sophronomos, something like that. It means admonishing or calling to soundness of mind, to moderation and self-control, bringing back to your senses. Have you ever been in the middle of worrying and then all of a sudden it's like something just snaps in you and you were like, wait a minute, this is not right? Or you start imagining the worst case scenario and you're going through it all in your head and you're like, dun, 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 this is going to happen and you're at your funeral, you know? I mean, like, that's, have you ever been there? Yes. Okay. So, and then something snaps in your head and you're like, wait, this is not okay. I'm not thinking this. This is not of God. This is totally the enemy, and he is a liar. Fear is a liar. Even though it seems real, it's not real. The Holy Spirit, he is the power within us, and he will bring that soundness of mind if we allow him to work in us. We have to first recognize the worry, the fear, and just say, God, forgive me for doing that. That's not of you. I know that. And then we have to submit our spirit, resist that spirit of fear, tell it to go in the name of Jesus, and then take our time to just lean in, trust in the Spirit of God that's in us, and help him to bring that soundness of mind. Brother Hagin, which we all love, he said some really very wise things. He said, negative thoughts are like birds. You can't keep them from flying around your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Right? We can use our authority and take captive those thoughts. We know those scriptures that says, take captive those thoughts and everything that comes against, you know, God. I don't know. I always think in visuals, so forgive me if I'm always talking about things in my head. But you've seen Fruit Ninja, right? You've played Fruit Ninja on your iPad, or your kids at least have, or you've seen it in Dave and Buster's or somewhere. Anyways, you have a sword and fruit comes flying at you and you have to slice it. That is the gist of the game. So in my head, when the negative thoughts come, which they're going to come, and they're going to come to all of us, in my head, I just imagine them as fruit that I'm slicing. And they come at me, and I'm like, no. Whoosh. 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 They tell you which way to slice, too. I always think about that because I'm like,
When I was a kid, I thought all the thoughts that flew through my head were mine. And I was like, I'm messed up. But then I realized that we do have an enemy. And yes, we do have a mind and a flesh that does say things. But every thought that comes to our mind is not from us. And some of it's from the enemy, and some of it's from our own flesh. And we just got to tell it what's up. We can think about what we're thinking about. We can choose to not think those things. We have authority over the enemy, and we have authority over our own minds. When I talk to my kids about fear and worry and nightmares, one thing I learned is I can tell my mind what to think because I'm in authority over my own mind. And so I would tell my kids at night, we're going to speak to your mind and we're going to tell it what to dream. Because the truth is, you're in authority over you. God has given us authority over the enemy. So we're in authority over both. So we say, mind, I tell you to dream good dreams, dreams that are pure, lovely, and true, and reject thoughts and dreams that are anxious, evil, or worrisome. You have enemy, you have no place. You're not going to give me bad dreams because God is in me. His power's in me. And once I learned that, God has helped me to not have nightmares. And on the rare occasion that I do have a nightmare, I wake up and I speak to my mind and I tell it what's up because it's not allowed to do that to me. Because I know the word, because God's taught me that I have authority over the enemy. And the evil, negative thoughts come from the enemy. So, we're moving on. One thing I think about is the church, believers, Christians, we've been distracted by the enemy too long. And he's tried to paralyze us and keep us in this place of worry and fear because he knows the strength we have. And he knows the ability we have to do mighty things for God. And so he wants to hold us captive, whether it's to sin, whether it's to worry, whether it's to fear, whether it's to anything else. That's where the enemy wants to hold us. But I believe that we have a generation, a church of believers that are who they are supposed to be. And God is helping us to see what the enemy is putting in front of our minds, trying to blind us with. And he's helping us to see the deceptions that the enemy has been giving us. And we're rising up. We're not going to be worriers anymore. We're going to be warriors. 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 Y'all, warriors, the way I look at it, there's all kinds of definitions online, but I made my own definition. The way I look at it, a warrior is a person who stands in place of authority, enforcing a victory that's already been won. Christ Jesus has already won the victory for us. All we have to do is stand in our place, in the place of authority and victory, and enforce it. When I think of this, I think of Wonder Woman. Have you seen the movie? I mean, girlfriend is hardcore. Her and her friends, hardcore. I would not want to go against them, okay? But she's a warrior. And she ain't afraid. Black Panther. Them girlfriends, they know what's up. They can take anybody. Now, we're going to go to the guys. Guys, Braveheart. You've seen it. All right, Gladiators. You've seen it. King say it right. T'Challa. I got it. T'Challa. Y'all, that is who we are in Christ. We are victorious. We cannot allow the enemy to hold us captive any longer. We have to stand up and know who we are. And we are not going to allow him to do that to us. We are warriors. He's already won the victory. You know what Colossians says, that he stripped the enemy of all his power and all the principalities. He stripped them and he paraded them in the streets. He triumphed over them. Y'all, we know this. We know that he has given us the authority over all the power of the enemy. And we can trample on snakes and scorpions. And nothing shall by any means hurt us. Y'all. So what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? I don't know who this is. Forgive me. What we're going to do is we're going to respond to the word. And we're going to do what the word tells us to do. It says to give us all, give him all our worries, our fears. So we're going to take a minute before we close up. And we're going to do that. I've asked Tori if he could sing a song. He wrote a song about this very subject. And he's going to be singing this song. And while he's singing this song, this is what I want you to do. I want you to either write or list all the worries, all the fears, all the situations right now that is concerning you. You can list it in your head. You can list it on your phone. You can jot it down if you got a piece of paper. I want you to consciously ask God to forgive you for worrying or trying to figure it out on your own or feeling sorry for yourself, whatever, and pray about each of those things and give them, cast them to him. And when you're ready, I want you just to give it all to him. And I want you to not take those things back when you walk out of here. It's not a boomerang that we're sending out to God. We're casting them and we're letting them go once and for all to him. So we're going to take a minute and I want you to go ahead and do that while he's singing. And then when we come back, we're going to encourage ourselves in the word. So let's do it. You can take time at your seat. You can come up here. I don't care. Wherever you would need to be. Let's give all our worries to him.
You said if I keep my mind, stayed on thee, you keep me in perfect peace. You are the Lord, and I trust in you. You said if I keep my mind stayed on thee, you keep me in perfect peace. You are the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. You said if I give my mind, stayed on thee, you keep me in perfect peace, yeah, yeah. You are the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. There's not a care in your presence. It's 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 not hard to 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 care in your presence. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. True, noble, just, pure and lovely, good news and virtuous. If it brings praise, think on these things. True, noble, just, pure and lovely, good news and virtuous. If it brings praise, think on these things. True, noble, just, pure and lovely, good news and virtuous. If it brings praise, think on these things. True, noble, just, pure and lovely, good news and virtuous. If it brings praise, think on these things. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, give thanksgiving, commune with the Lord.
This last moment, I just want to read a few more scriptures, and I gave some scriptures out to different people. I don't know if we'll have time to do all of them, but Proverbs 12:25 in the Amplified says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good encouraging word makes it glad. So how do we get out of the worry and the fear and the anxiety? We cast it to Him, but then we encourage ourselves, or others encourage ourselves with the Word. The Word is our encouragement. We can't neglect the Word, because the Word is what gets our mind out of that pattern of thinking. And it's important to do it
on a regular basis, even though we've done it a million times before. So if you have a scripture, I just want you to stand up. I'm going to try to do it like a few really quick. Stand up. All right.
John 14:26-27, Amplified. But the Helper, Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge.
Amen.
Jeremiah 17:7-8, New Living Translation. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along the riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit.
Hebrews 13:5-8. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never, ever leave you alone. Never. And I will never loosen my grip on your life. So we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. Don't forget the example of your spiritual leaders who have spoken God's message to you. Take a close look at how their lives ended, and then follow their walk of faith. Jesus, the Anointed One, is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen.
Just a few more.
Psalm 34:4, I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Isaiah 43:1, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
3 John 2, beloved friend, I pray that you are prospering in every way, that you continually enjoy good health just as your soul is prospering. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will put my trust and faith in you.
Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery leading you into fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit of peace and sonship, by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous, and take action. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you.
Amen. Y'all, we have a lot to be thankful for. God is with us. He is for us. He gives us peace. He gives us all we need for life and godliness. Lord, we're thankful for all the good that you've put in our lives. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful that Jesus has already won the victory. Lord, help us not to worry. Help us not to be afraid. Help us not to be anxious, because God, you have won. You have stripped the enemy of his power. He has no power over us. You've given us the authority over him, and we just take our authority right now. We tell that spirit of fear, we tell that spirit of anxiety and worry and depression, we tell it to go in Jesus' name. And you have no place in the people of God, because we are God's property, because we've been bought with a price of the blood of Jesus. And Jesus has won that victory. He's been risen from the dead, and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And we don't have to do that, because he's already done it. So God, we stand in our place of victory. We stand in our place of authority, and we become warriors for you, Lord. We're not warriors anymore. We're warriors. We've cast our care on you. You're taking care of those things. Thank you for taking care of the things that concerns us. Thank you for perfecting the things that concern us, God. You care about the little things.
You care about the big things. You care about everything in between. So God, thank you for working behind the scenes and working it out, because we don't have answers. You do. So we look to you, and we'll do what you tell us to do. We'll look to the word. We'll encourage ourselves. We'll remind ourselves of what you've done. We'll remind ourselves of what you said. And we're going to walk in a place of victory. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.